Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, part of the Odyssey platform with our friends at Intercom and our partners at Tegna, here to bring you your favorite shows Monday through Friday, covering your favorite teams with your favorite hosts. Lots of favorites here in the Locked On Podcast Network, as you can be kept up to date on everything important to know about your team. If you don't have an hour and a half to spend or 2 hours to spend perusing all of your favorite, all of your other sports podcasts, you can come to Locked On Podcast Network for short 20, 30 minute episodes that keep you abreast of everything you need to know to let you fan the way you need to fan. Just like and subscribe to your favorite shows and your favorite hosts. You can be kept up to date across all of your platforms, whether it be Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, Pandora, whatever, Amazon Music. You can find your favorite shows. You can like and subscribe so you can be kept up to date when a new episode drops, like Locked On Braves, which is going to be dropping at, about 1:30 today. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So, in today's episode, we're going to cover a lot. It is the home opener today, Mother Nature willing, if there's some storms supposedly going to be in the area around that time. Hopefully the Braves are able to get this in, as it'll be Charlie Morton as he makes his return to Atlanta, taking on the Phillies after getting swept by the Phils in pretty unlucky fashion to start off the season. Braves are looking to get some payback. It'll be Charlie Morton versus Zach Wheeler, a kid from East Paulding High School, and what should be a very, very fun matchup. As I mentioned the last time the Braves and Wheeler faced off, Wheeler's one of those guys that he either destroys the Braves or the Braves light him up. So he's already destroyed the Braves once this year. Maybe that's some good luck going forward. I don't know. But really good and really excited to see Charlie Morton get another shot at his first win back as a Brave, as hopefully the Braves will be able to take them down tonight. Should be a lot of fun. Just really excited to see the Braves back in Truist Park. Feels like forever since they've been there. It's going to be really cool to see fans there. You know that place is going to be filled to the capacity that they'll allow it to. It's going to be just a really good experience. It's been one of those things, right? You don't notice how much you miss fans in the stands until you get them back again. And it does provide a different air, and players seem to agree to it as well. Unfortunately, not everything that we cover today will be quite as rosy. We'll talk about Mike Soroka and whether or not he's... how he's faring in his little shutdown. Got some words from Snit on that. He'll bring to you either later in this segment or in the beginning of the second segment. Other than that, really looking forward to seeing the Braves get a chance to take out the Phillies here and march up the NL East ladder, as the Braves and their offense have been playing much better. I talked about it yesterday, or on Wednesday rather, about just how good Wasker and Noah looked. Fantastic, good boom for the Braves, and actually, don't look now, but he's the highest rated Braves pitcher through his five innings at a 0.2 F war. Max Fried slotting in pretty good. Actually, all the Braves pitchers have pitched very well despite the surface numbers, what some of the ERAs would show you, despite the fact that Max only went through two innings. That start was not good on him. Listen to Max tell, it was more precautionary than anything, him getting taken out after getting hit in the calf. Didn't want to seize up on him, and he wasn't particularly effective. We talked about that on Wednesday, along with some of the things that were bothering me with the way Travis d'Arnaud was catching that game. Hopefully, we'll see the ship get righted today. I'm sure Travis will be back in there. Haven't seen the lineups announced yet, but you can probably pencil in your normal lineup. Other questions I've had recently about when did the Braves start moving down Ozzy Albies? It's going to be important to get for him to get going. Again, though, just another guy that's been really, really unlucky. If you look at his Statcast data, he's hitting the ball hard. It's just really hitting it right at people, and that seems to be the tail of the tape. You look at Max, he's pitched. His underlying numbers have been very strong. He's just been getting BABIP to death. Currently got a 565 BABIP against him, which is, about 265 points higher than what he would normally be at. Home run rate is up from normal. Now, again, super early in the season, so those numbers are always going to be a little bit inflated. But he's got a 9 ERA versus a 3.65 FIP, so that'll average itself out here soon. Charlie Morton looked to see him get that curveball working early today and keep these Phillies hitters off balance. Did really well in his first outing up until about the fifth inning or so. So look for him to stretch it a little bit farther this time, as we've now seen our first complete game of the season, as it did not take Tony La Russa long to have a starter go full nine innings. Lance Lynn went the full nine with 11 Ks, looked really good doing it as well. You just knew that Tony La Russa was going to be the first person to have a starter go over 110 pitches, and did not disappoint. All around the league, some good stuff still going on, as a lot of the teams are starting to right the ship a little bit. Obviously, if you guys are baseball fans, you saw Michael Conforto. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But for most of this show, we really just want to focus on the Braves. Ronald Acuna really jumped into high gear. I want to see him continue that. I'm excited to see the first at-bat for Acuna back home. It's going to be really cool. Looking to see Freddie start to get some of his numbers into play, as another case of a guy who's been kind of unlucky, despite the bomb off of Strasburg. This bomb off of Scherzer. Also wanting to see Marcel get into gear a little bit. He started out a little bit slow, which is not all that uncommon for him, but you know Marcel hits the ball harder than anybody else in baseball. Looking for him to get that going today. And Braves got to do a little bit better against Wheeler's off speed. I don't question that they can hit the fastball, although in his last start he was killing the Braves with the fastball. That's going to even itself out in time. The Braves are a really good fastball hitting team. The key to getting to Wheeler early is going to be, one, work pitch counts. You can't let him be nearly as efficient as he was that first outing. And two, you gotta be able to hit his off speed. If you can make him become just a fastball pitcher, there's enough hitters in the lineup that are going to mash that fastball to where you don't really have to worry about it. Velocity is not a big deal to most of these Braves hitters. Like to see the bottom of the lineup continue to have some success and set up the top of the lineup. Did that really well in the last two Nationals games. I'd like to see Dansby start to make a little bit more contact. He struck out a lot to start the season. Look for him to get going as well in this series. I think it's going to be a good series for the Braves. I said that last time they were playing the Phillies, but I do think this is going to be a pretty good series for the Braves. We'll see it going forward. So today will be Charlie Morton versus Zach Wheeler. That is set for a 7:20 start time. Hopefully Mother Nature will cooperate and we'll be able to get it in, because I really, really have been waiting for this home opener. Tomorrow we'll see Ian Anderson versus Zach Eflin again. And then we'll get back to basically the same pitching matchups that we had the first time without seeing Aaron Nola this time. No having to worry about getting Aaron Nola as he pitched last night. So it'll be Morton and Wheeler. It'll be Ian Anderson and Zach Eflin, and then it'll be Matt Moore versus Drew Smyly. Should be a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll get some good matchups there. Hopefully the Braves can get to Eflin and Moore, because they made Eflin look way better than he actually is. So we want to see them punish him a little bit here in Atlanta, as it'll be warmer. We won't have to worry about that wind quite as much, and should spell good news for the Braves. We'll see what's happening. We'll see what happens tonight and going forward. So for now, we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we are going to delve right into Mike Soroka and whether or not you should be worried about him getting shut down for 2 weeks. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this on Locked On Braves. Hey everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On here to tell you about my friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the number one protein bar in the universe, and I'm including every universe, because they are delicious. They've got a really good texture, something very uncommon in protein bars. Delightful, delightful assortment of flavors, ones you're not going to find any other protein bar company even attempting, much less mastering like Built Bar has. I'm talking about ones like raspberry cheesecake, churro. I talk about the dessert ones a lot because I'm a gigantic child and dessert bars are my favorite bars, but the salted caramel is delicious. The peanut butter fudge is awesome. The toffee almond is still one of my favorites. Just basically every bar I've tried from them, aside from ones that I will not eat, like banana nut bread, but all the ones that I've tried from them have been fantastic. And I, for one, am very thankful, because as I've told you guys before, don't really do breakfast. So it helps to have a protein bar that I can have. It doesn't make me feel all bloated and too full. And you can try them out for yourself. Just go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON20 at the checkout. You'll get a nice little surprise. But you can build your own boxes. Try all the flavors. You don't have to just try a certain number. You don't have to just try one or two flavors. Try them all. Find which ones you like and go to BuiltBar.com. Try them all out for yourself and you'll be hooked, I can promise you. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON20 today. Hey everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On Braves here to tell you about my friends at Rock Auto. Your car does a lot for you without a lot of thanks. We'll change that up. do for your car what your car does for you. Take care of your car. It'll do a much better job. It doesn't ask you for a lot. You know, keep the tires going, change the oil now and then, maybe do some routine maintenance, whatever you need to. And if you need to do that routine maintenance, but you don't want to wait in those long lines or pay the upscale, upmarket prices of those box stores or those quote-unquote auto parts stores, just go to Rock Auto, family-owned business, all online. Makes it easy to ship right to your home. You can find just about any part you need to do any sort of routine maintenance or maybe a little bit more than routine maintenance. They've got stuff for just about every car on there. Go to rockauto.com. You'll be able to get it quick and get it fast. You won't have to pay that upcharge that you have to pay for going into an auto parts store. And you're helping support family-owned businesses, which is the best way to go. rockauto.com, doing the best for your car the way your car does for you. Go to rockauto.com. And in that Where Did You Hear About Us box down there at the bottom, make sure you put on Locked On Podcast Network or Locked On or whatever they want to have you put down there. Let them know that you that we sent you there, and you can get everything you need for your car the way your car has always done everything for you. rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program here on the home opener day on this Friday. Hopefully the end of your guys' week, and we can get ready to all watch some Braves baseball this weekend and hope for a rude welcome in Atlanta for the Phillies. They really deserve it. Not as much as the Mets, which we'll talk about a little bit later, as I just saw one of the most BS things I've ever seen in a professional baseball game. But talked about all the good feels about getting the home opener and the Braves coming off two wins and the offense unlocking the or getting rid of the bad luck from the BABIP gods, but it hasn't all been rosy. Yesterday, if you were paying attention, you saw Mike Soroka got shut down for 2 weeks. Snicker was asked about that Wednesday after the games in the postgame. Anytime you're talking about Soroka, who's going to be such a key part of this rotation and coming back very early from an Achilles injury, anytime you hear that he's had a setback somewhere, you're going to be a little bit worried. Anytime you hear the word shoulder attached to a pitcher, then again, you're going to get worried. And Snit was asked in the post game after game two about the status of Mike Soroka and about if it was true, but he got shut down. And Snit had this to say.
He was pitching in his game yesterday and only threw an inning. He came out. He's got some right shoulder inflammation. There's no structural damage, but they're going to shut him down for 2 weeks and treat him and then get back at it.
Snit was asked that following up from this question. He also had this to say in regards to whether or not he's actually worried about Soroka or if they feel pretty good about him going forward.
You know, I'm concerned for him. I mean, I hate that he's done all this work. It's just, you know what, Barry's done.
So
I don't know
there,
how many of these things
Snit,
you've been
not
around.
Not overly worried. That
planned.
Makes me feel a little bit better.
I mean, there's always
right
bumps
shoulder
in the road.
And, it's not that uncommon.
I think the fact
Soroka
that there's no structural damage
over the last year.
It's something that they'll just calm down and get him back
going. I don't
going.
Like hearing shoulder issues.
I said,
if anybody
you know, I told
shoulder issues are about the worst thing you can have if you're a pitcher. Really, any sort of
he'll continue to work hard.
Pitchers especially.
Your
shoulder does control so much of what you do.
You never know. Might end You know,
hopefully this is just
that,
them taking it a little bit
you
easier.
Never know
like,
why
and in 2 weeks
happen,
his shoulder
but,
will be
you know, like
fine.
I say, very rarely do these things go according to
luckily,
plan. There's always bumps in the road.
I think the Braves
so
are feeling a little bit.
What this is.
They probably felt pretty good before, knowing that even if Waskar didn't have a great outing, you still have Bryce Wilson who showed that he can handle it as well. Braves have had some options, but with Waskar really taking the reins in that second game and really, really dominating, Braves got to feel pretty good about if they have to roll with Waskar again as the fifth starter for the foreseeable future. I didn't think you were going to see Soroka in April at all anyway. I still don't. I think that it's just safer to go ahead and push it into May at this point if he can get himself ramped back up. That's going to be the key now. He's got to wait another 2 weeks, so it's going to have to rebuild from the 2 weeks and start trying to stretch himself out a little bit. I think you'll probably see them go with the kid gloves on him for a little bit. Probably no more than 65, maybe 70 pitches when he comes back. It'd probably be about 5 innings worth of Soroka work. Hopefully, though, everything will be good. The shoulder will be fine, and he'll be back in. Just sounds like routine kind of tiredness. The shoulder hasn't been used all that much. I'm not overly worried about it. If I hear that there's any setbacks from this setback, then my worry meter will push up a little bit, just because I get worried anytime I hear about shoulder injuries. But I'm not that worried for the Braves. Am I worried about Max Fried and his slow start to the season? Not really. Obviously, I want Max to be the best pitcher in baseball. Max expects himself to be a lot better than he's been so far. Hasn't really had his plus stuff yet. But really, aside from Wasker and Noah, none of the pitchers have really had their A-plus stuff. And it's early on in the season, and I'm sure that'll get ironed out going forward. That's why tonight is so important for me. I want to see one of these guys that we're going to be relying on all year and Charlie Morton go out there and start to shove and show everybody that he's not done, that he's got a ton left in the tank, and that he's ready to go out there and help bring Atlanta a World Series in his return to Atlanta for what supposedly is going to be his final season. We'll see how it goes. If he dominates this season and the Braves want to bring him back, it's a hard thing to walk away from if you're at the top of your game. And anytime you get offered double-digit millions of dollars, that's another really hard thing to walk away from. But for the offense, I talked about in the last segment, I'm looking for the offense to continue their barrage. I think that the starters we're facing, Wheeler is very good. Wheeler is really, really nasty. Eflin, again, though, I've said it before, and Phillies fans can get mad at me again, but I don't think Eflin is all that good, so I'm not too worried about that. I think the Braves will hold a distinct edge. I think they're going to have momentum coming forward now. Now they've got the first couple wins out of the way. The luck has started to turn offensively. I think the Phillies are in for a rude awakening down here. I don't really know what else we want to go over today. I want to see how Travis looks defensively. I'm hoping that was really just a blip on the radar and that we don't have to, talk about that in every instance. But it is something that I kind of noticed. I noticed it a little bit with Alex Jackson as well. Now, Alex was moving around a little bit, and he was more outside instead of being inside on righties and outside on all lefties. He moved around a little bit more, so I don't think it was necessarily just game plan, although I have noticed that every Braves catcher has adopted the one knee stance, which is better for framing, which is something that Alex does very well, something that Travis did not do well either. Going forward, that's something I'm going to keep an eye on, just because I'm kind of weird and that type of stuff is what I tend to look for. But even looking around all of baseball, you're starting to see more and more catchers start to use the one knee stance, which allows you to frame outside pitches a little bit easier and frame low pitches a good bit easier. As it presents, you bring the glove up as you're coming up, and as you're moving the ball back in, because your arm's already in motion, it kind of disguises disguises the frame a little bit and makes it a little bit harder for the umpire to see where exactly the ball crossed the plate. Now, do I think that it's some sort of magic or anything like that? No, but it is something to keep an eye on, because theoretically, at least, it does make it harder to control runners. Alex has a strong enough arm that I'm not too worried. Travis, never been the best at holding runners on, but we dealt with Tyler Flowers for years, who's famously bad at it. I don't think it's going to bother Shea Langeliers at all. It didn't look like it was bothering William Contreras at all either. So if it's a way for them to help the pitchers out a little bit more and not lose strikes because of bad framing, then I'm all for it. Just one of those little small things that I look at. Again, my keys for today, we're going to go one more segment after this, and in that segment, we're going to talk about one of the most Bush League things I've seen in professional baseball, because I'm just going to hammer that. But for the final thing for this segment, I'm looking for the Braves to go out there and put up a four spot on Zach Wheeler. I think that's what I'm looking for today. Hopefully, the weather will permit and let us get it in, but for now, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the most Bush League thing you'll see in baseball all year. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this here on Locked On Braves. Everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On Braves here to tell you about my friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is my favorite place to go to place any online wager on basically whatever sporting event you could think of. If you want to bet a cricket line, I'll bet you can find a cricket line on there. BetOnline is a very, very good user interface. It's really easy to navigate. It's kind of cool looking. And it's just really fun. You can find all sorts of lines, ranging from beginner, if you're new at it, all the way up to more advanced lines, if you've been gambling for a while or you want to take a risk and go for bigger money. And if you don't see a line that you want to bet, like if you want to say that Acuña is going to go 40-40 this year, as he's now 38 homers and 38 stolen bases away, not that I'm counting, you can actually contact the BetOnline guys, and they'll create a line for you. It's a really, really user-based website. It's a really user-based way to sports bet, essentially. And if you haven't sports bet, if you're against gambling, then that's fine. I'm not going to be over here telling you that you have to. But if you're like me and you struggle getting into certain sports like soccer or hockey, putting a little bit of money on it is the easiest way to make sure that you stay involved. And for me, I don't really know anything about it, so I'm not betting big bucks. But, you know, it does add a little drama and a little suspense to what otherwise would be me trying to figure out a sport. So don't take my word for it. If you go to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they're going to give you a 50% deposit match on your initial deposit, which means you put in 100 bucks, they're going to put in another 50, and you've got $150 to play with, which you can range from any and all sports, from baseball, football, soccer, basketball, mixed martial arts, boxing, whatever. Maybe you want to throw a little bit of money down on this Jake Paul versus Ben Askren thing. BetOnline.ag is the right place to do that. Go to BetOnline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON today. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of the show for today. Now, the Braves had an off day yesterday, so it's kind of cut into my content a little bit today, as you guys can probably notice. A little bit more difficult when it's early in season, don't have too much to go on here. But one thing that I wanted to discuss, and it's not Braves related, it's just something that was so outrageous. I've never seen this before, and it speaks to a broader problem with one of the applications of baseball. Now, talking, of course, about the end of the Marlins-Mets game. Now, that was a very close game, and it was a pretty well-pitched game on both sides. But the ending just ruins it for me. And talking about Michael Conforto, who's been slumping pretty heavy to start the year, leans into and blatantly, just absolutely blatantly leans into a pitch, throws his elbow in front of a pitch in order to, with the bases loaded, in order to get a walk-off hit-by-pitch victory. The bad part about it, and it's not like he's the only person who's ever intentionally gotten hit by a pitch. I mean, Craig Biggio made a career out of it. But this is the first time I've ever seen somebody lean into the strike zone and get hit for a walk-off hit-by-pitch. Like, the part that blows my mind is at no point was this pitch ever a ball. It was completely in the K zone. It was on the upper inside corner, up and in on him, but it was a complete strike all the way, and it was called a strike by the umpire before he overruled himself and said hit-by-pitch. It was a misapplication of the rules, and unfortunately, since he made the call that he was hit by a pitch, you can't review judgment calls, and under the rules, whether or not a batter leans into a pitch is considered a judgment call, and that's not reviewable, which to me is absolutely ridiculous, because it shouldn't matter anyway. The pitch was a strike, which doesn't matter if you get hit. If the pitch is a strike and you get hit by it, then it's still supposed to be a strike. It's still supposed to go with the rule is if the batter gets hit by a pitch and the ump thinks it's intentional, then you stick with what the original call was, which in this case would have been a strike. One of the other rules of thumb is, if it's a strike and the batter gets hit, it's because he's obviously inside the strike zone, which is not allowed anyway, so it's still a strike. No matter how you slice it, that was the one way to call that wrong, and they did. And Don Mattingly had them review it, but the only thing they could review was whether or not it did hit him, and there wasn't enough conclusive evidence to overturn either way. It definitely looked like it hit him in the elbow guard. But you're supposed to make an attempt to get out of the way. And if you're a professional ball player, I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you can do that and feel good about yourself. Enough for the Mets to go running around celebrating on the field, celebrating a quote-unquote walk-off, and then for the Mets Twitter to just Mets it all up and start talking and crowing about the win on Twitter. That's just embarrassing. I mean, you're a professional hitter. I get things aren't going well, and I get a win is a win, but they aren't really. So all you've done now is, one, you've embarrassed yourself, you've embarrassed the team, now you've put a gigantic target on your back. They don't play today, but Braves fans know better than anybody that Don Mattingly is not going to forget about that. I would not be shocked if Conforto wears not one but two pitches on Saturday. And if I'm a Marlins pitcher, I'm perfectly okay with it. And I know a lot of people get a little bit leery about hitting people anymore. That's one of the parts of the game that a lot of fans wish would go away. I think it's warranted in this situation. I'm not saying you go headhunting, because you don't do that. You don't want to run the risk of permanently injuring somebody. But wearing one between the numbers, absolutely. And for anybody saying, oh, well, it's going to start a never-ending cycle, no, it's not. The Mets have no grounds to retaliate to this retaliation. This is something that Conforto deserves to wear one. The Mets deserve to wear it a little bit, but it's definitely going to be Conforto, and it should be at least twice. You should wear him in the back. Don't go after his head. Don't go after his ankle. Don't go after his elbow, anything like that. But in the back, in the butt, fair game, and he should be, because that needs to be something that is nipped in the bud, because this is not something you want to see invade baseball. You don't want this to be like flopping in basketball or soccer, to go on the high-end example. And it's not like you have as many opportunities in baseball, but that's one of those things we talk about, integrity of the game. I'd rather Conforto get suspended for that more than I would have for Nick Castellanos to get suspended for what he got suspended for. And this is coming from somebody who's a Conforto fan. I love Michael Conforto and his game, but that was one of the most pathetic things I've ever seen in my life. I do not understand a professional player being able to, one, set aside the ego, set aside the pride enough to do that, because everybody knows what you did. Everybody saw what you did. The umpires knew exactly what you did too. It's just absolutely disgraceful. And personally, I hope the Marlins whoop the Mets on Saturday. And I mean, whoop them badly, because they didn't deserve to lose the game like that. Now, who knows how that game would have ended in extras or whatever. But it's disgraceful that you allowed a player to cheat in order to get to those extra innings. And for as much as I'm going to talk about Conforto, it's on the umpire too. The umpire should know the rules. The umpire should know that pitch was a strike no matter what. And he started off with a strike off. If he hadn't overruled himself, it would have been perfectly fine. And if Conforto looks back and says, no, that hit me, then the umpire say, well, it was a strike anyway, so that's on you. There was no excuse for the umpire to make the call he did. Now, I get once that call was made, at least they owned up to it. They did a good job owning up to it. They knew that they'd screwed that one up, and there was just nothing they could do under the rules, which does bring a larger rule into play. Like, what is the point of replay if you can't review something like that? The point of replay is to get the call correct. I don't understand why we say that certain calls are reviewable and certain ones aren't. Managers still only have one challenge, so it's not like, oh, well, they're just going to waste all the time reviewing. It takes 20 minutes to get a review done anyway just to see if somebody was safe or out, so I don't understand why that's something that you can't review. And if you're not going to allow review to work for everything, then you might as well not have it at all. I mean, half the time anyway, when they do reviews, the correct call's not made because the umpires don't want to show up other umpires. And people in New York don't want to show up other umpires and whatever other excuse you want to give them. But they get those calls wrong all the time, even with replay. So if that's going to happen, I prefer to just not have it, because it's more annoying to get the call wrong and then double down on it wrong with replay when everybody can see that the wrong call was made. We see it all the time, and it drives everybody crazy. In Braves country, we see it seems like more than anybody else. But that's one of the main rules that I wish would change, that either say that everything's reviewable or nothing's reviewable, and just go back to not having a review. I don't think you're going to be hurt that much by it. I think that the review rule has actually taken away a little bit from the game. And talking about, you know, things like, it wasn't intended to be used for guys coming off the bag slightly on a slide if they overslide at second base or whatever. Like on stolen bases, for example, if they beat the common rule of umpiring, or the common method has always been, if the guy beats the ball to the bag, then he's safe. If he comes off for a half second, whatever. And you could say, well, technically he's off the bag there, but that's not the spirit of that rule. That's not the spirit of replay there. So I'm not a big replay fan in general, especially when you get it wrong. I especially don't like it when the main focus of replay seems to be making sure that the umpire's feelings are kept safe rather than the right call being made. So hopefully we'll see some – I won't be shocked to see some adjustments made to replay relatively quickly. Now, another news before we go, because I do got to get out of here. Final thing before we go. Braves did make another trade today. I believe it was cash considerations to the Pirates for one Edgar Santana, a relief pitcher, a righty relief pitcher, as you can tell. Pretty sorely needed right now with Chris Martin still day-to-day. Don't have a ton of righties behind him. Now, Santana, he's a pretty good reliever. Now, I know Pirates guys think, how good can he be? But he's pretty good. Now, he still has 14 days left to serve for a PED suspension from last year, and he is recovering from Tommy John, so he hasn't pitched since 2018. But in 2018, had a 3.26 ERA in 69 games that he was in there. 2017 was 3.50, career 3.31 ERA. He's a good, solid reliever. I like him a fair bit. I think this is a good addition. I thought Shane Green was going to be added back. I still wouldn't be totally shocked if that happens at some point. But Santana, younger than Green, throws harder. You know, something that I'd like to see a little bit more. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see the Braves really, really settle in that bullpen. Santana's not a big strikeout guy, which is something that I tend to look for. But he doesn't walk a lot of people, under 2 walks per 9 in his career. Doesn't give up a ton of hard contact. Doesn't give up a ton of home runs, really. Not a great ground ball rate, but not awful. Has a pretty decent fastball, although now it's kind of ordinary for the league. But he's got a career, or he's got a career 379 FIP. In 2018, was a 358. 2018 was a .7 WAR season, which is a very good season for a reliever. So, we'll see what happens. It's a good addition all around. We'll see how he looks coming off the Tommy John in about 2 weeks. So he's at the alternate site now. I'd imagine we'd see Orlando Arcia has the potential to be called up here soon. Spent his time at the alternate site, which is more just COVID protocol based than anything. But overall, Braves have made some moves early. Now, none of them are big moves, but it is kind of a change in the way that Alex has done this before, as it's generally been wait until the deadline or whatever. Braves have been fairly aggressive as far as the speed of making moves. So we'll see if those pay off going forward. We'll see if it means anything special about Chris Martin. Anytime a pitcher talks about his fingers going numb, that makes me really nervous, because that's one of the telltale signs for thoracic outlet syndrome, which is deadly to pitchers. Trevor Rosenthal just had that as well, trying to decide if he wants to undergo surgery, which will put him out for the season. So I'm really hoping that that's not what Chris Martin is experiencing, because if it is, you can go ahead and say that Chris Martin is done for the season. And that would put this Braves bullpen, which is a very good bullpen, it would put them in some very dire straits going forward, because that would leave you without a high-leverage righty. Hopefully Santana could fill that void if the worst case were to happen, and the Braves could at least patch it together until making a bigger move going forward. But speaking of going forward, we're going to go forward now. We're going to go ahead in the episode. We'll be back next week. Hopefully the Braves are able to play tonight and win the home opener. And really, let's hope they sweep the Phillies. But we'll be back again on Monday to discuss this series and the Marlins series, which will take place right after that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the show today. We'll be back on Monday right here on Locked On Braves.